I call you, ladies and gentlemen. You know what you are. For the first time on any screen, their lives, stories of women who love women and men that love men. See their side. Hear them out. Don't have a closed mind. Be open before making your decision. See gay liberation. Every family with relatives is involved. Out of the closet and into the street. Gay liberation.
You are listening to Queer Review on CHRW 94.9. Happy to welcome our guest today, Tony Souza, a longtime activist and a current member of Queers Against Israeli Apartheid, which is based out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. How do you do?
Hi, good to be here.
Great. I wanted to ask you right away, so people get an understanding of where you're coming from. What is the organization Queers Against Israeli Apartheid?
Queers Against Israeli Apartheid are people, queer people who have come together to work in solidarity and to support the queers who live in Palestine and the Palestine Solidarity Movement around the world. We actually are in response to queers in Palestine and people who live in the occupied territories who ask us to support them in their struggle for basic human rights.
Now, I've never heard of LGBT groups in Palestine, and I visited your website, and there are a few. Do you know much about these groups? And are these the groups that you're talking about?
These are some of the groups that we're involved in. Several of our members have actually lived in the occupied territories and have visited the occupied territories. And so they know these groups, and so we really are supporting these groups. So we've met these people, and one of them came over last year, actually, for Gay Pride Day.
Could you tell me a little bit about what the nature of their work is?
The nature of their work is basically supporting gays, queer people and transgender people in Palestine and the occupied territories. And basically providing a space for them so they can be queer, and also, but at the same time, I think it's really important to realize that they can't, there's no point in having queer rights when you don't have basic human rights. And Palestinians who live in the occupied territories have absolutely no rights at all. They're stateless people. There are more than 6 million people who have no passports, have no rights, have no freedom of movement, nothing.
Now, some of the organizations there is ASWAT, I believe, yes. And Al-Kawas for Sexual and Gender Diversity in Palestine Society, yes, is the group. So check those out online if you're interested more specifically what they're doing. I wanted to also introduce the idea of Israeli apartheid and essentially why your organization exists. What is this term apartheid? It's been used for decades now, but a lot of people still don't know what it means. What exactly does that mean, and what does that mean in relation to Israel?
The term comes from a term that was used in South Africa, and it was in 1948, the South African government, after it separated from Great Britain, got its independence and formed an apartheid state. And basically, apartheid means difference. It's an Afrikaans word, which means separation. And basically, what it means is that there are two sort of laws and two rights that people have. There's one group of people have much more rights and much more privileges and everything else than another. So it comes from South Africa, and it has been used in South Africa till 1989, when the apartheid state fell in South Africa.
I understand that this apartheid comes in all sorts of different forms. You've got an 8-meter concrete wall surrounding two areas in Palestine. You've got checkpoints where people are constantly being racially profiled to get in and out of East Jerusalem and all sorts of places. Basically, any movement at all, you've got the waters and air under complete siege. The Israeli government controls the ports and the airspace and most of the resources. So there's essentially, you've got a complete military siege and occupation of the Palestinian people. Is that correct?
That's right. And basically what it is, the United Nations have said is that apartheid are inhuman acts committed for the purpose of establishing and maintaining domination by one racial group of people over another racial group of people and systematically oppressing them. So this is something that the UN came up with in terms of defining the term, and you know, people all over the world and very noted public figures have come out and said, what you see in Israel is apartheid, where the Jewish people of Israel have many more rights than the Arab people or the Palestinians,
right?
Who live there, and of course the people who live in the occupied territories on the West Bank and in Gaza have no rights at all, and they don't, you know, they're stateless people, and they've been that way. So they have no freedom of movement, nothing.
So your group is designed to, in part, combat this. In which ways can Queers Against Israeli Apartheid influence this situation, and what have you been doing concretely to try to do that?
Well, we have to go back to what's happening in Israel itself and what's happening on the international scene. On the international scene, there's more and more criticism about Israel being an apartheid state and the fact that Palestinians have no rights and have been many of them have been refugees and were expelled in 1948 when the State of Israel was formed. So the people in the Arabs in Israel, for instance, have a very different set of rights to what the Jewish people have, and of course, as I say, the people in the occupied territories in Gaza have almost none, and live almost as if they're in prisons. As this criticism has developed, and as this criticism has grown internationally, the Israeli government has decided that it needs to do a PR campaign to take away this criticism. To paint them in a better light, and what it is now sort of hooked onto is the whole gay and lesbian and queer issues, and that the fact that in Israel there are gay rights, there are gay bars, there are places where queer people can go. They also have gay marriage, so they're promoting it as this sort of gay mecca, this queer mecca in the Middle East. Now, what they are not talking about is talking about, what about queer Palestinians? What about queer Arabs who live in Israel? Do they have the same rights as Israeli Jewish queers? No, they don't. And so what we've been asked to do is to try to bring attention to this fact and to try to bring some change, pressure governments to try to pressure Israel to change this, to start giving equal rights to Arabs and Palestinians. So they have a campaign the queer community has named as pinkwashing, which is basically that, you know, come to Israel, come to this wonderful land of, you know, where we all have our rights. Well, it does not, for instance, say that these rights, that these wonderful queer rights that people have in Palestine, and let me tell you, there are also, there's opposition to queers in Palestine, in Israel, just as there are to queers here. But be that as it may, but queers who are Arab and queers who are Palestinian do not have these rights, and we don't want them to be using the gay, the queer rights as a way of not diverting attention from what's happening to Palestinians.
Before we get into the Pride Festival, what other types of things does Queers Against Israeli Apartheid do to spread information?
Well, we do educational work. So we do workshops. We talk to people, and we join other struggles who are trying to get rights for the Palestinian people. And the other more important thing is right now we're supporting a campaign which is called Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. It's called BDS, and it's again organized by Palestinians and Palestinians who have asked us to help them. And one of the things they've targeted is gay tourism.
What has been the response from your critics to your work?
They don't like the idea that people are questioning and criticizing the state of Israel. So they attack us, and they attack us as being anti-Semitic. They attack us as promoting hate. And this is what led to us being banned last year from the Pride Parade.
Could you please tell me a bit about the history of Queers Against Israeli Apartheid?
People have been marching in the Pride Parade in support of other international issues. So, for instance, in the 80s, we marched in solidarity with South African queers to bring attention to apartheid. So, you know, and that in some ways was very helpful to the South Africans. Again, it was their request that we do this, that we bring attention to the fact that blacks and colored people in South Africa did not have any rights. And so we brought somebody actually from South Africa here to speak and do some educationals to people around the issue of apartheid in South Africa. So, and similarly, there have been other issues around gay, lesbian, transgender, queer groups around the world who have asked activists if they would do something to support them, either by true education or through some action and through some political lobbying. So that's what we've done in the past. So. A few years ago, I think it was formed around 2008, a group of local activists were quite concerned about the use of gay rights to justify the Israeli government's occupation of Palestine and the apartheid policies towards the Palestinian people. So they got formed in 2008, and I think in 2009 there was a contingent at the parade. And again, I want to draw attention that this was in response to the pinkwashing campaign that the state of Israel was doing, right? Because as I said earlier, was that it was the use of using gender, sexual, and gay rights to validate the state and detract it from the violation of human rights that it does. So what happened was it was formed in 2008. In 2009, they were first banned, and then they were unbanned because there was an article in the National Post that announced, that the group was banned. So there was a lot of outcry at that time. This was not last year, 2010. This was 2009. This was as a result of an Israeli lobby.
Now you were banned within the organization of the Toronto Pride Festival.
In 2010, right. In 2009, there was a move to try to censor Choir, but it didn't work. But by March of last year, which is 2010, Choir was sort of under attack by the councillors, by the city, and the city said that, you know, Pride funding would be at risk if Choir was not banned. What they said was basically that Israeli apartheid constitutes hate speech, and it created a place where people were unsafe or unwelcome. So what happened was that they talked to Pride and the board of Pride in May of 2010 said that we couldn't use the word apartheid at all, but using the word apartheid was hate speech. When that happened, a lot of community groups mobilized very quickly and launched a campaign and formed an organization called Pride Coalition for Free Speech to compel Pride to reverse decisions. 20 or 25 former Pride honorees, people who had got awards from Toronto Pride, gave back their awards, and there was a tremendous opposition to Pride censorship. And also, Pride was beginning to get really worried because they were scared of, you know, any kind of things that might happen in the parade where people might openly defy the ban. So when they realized that there was such an outcry, Pride reversed their decision on about a week before Gay Pride last year, and they said we could march. And since then, I think it's really important to note that the city manager has come back with a report that says Queers Against Israeli Apartheid do not promote hate, and the words are not hateful, and it is a criticism of the Israeli state, but it is not in any way, you know, anti-Semitic or anything like that. So the city manager has said, you can't use that as an excuse to fund Pride. Now, with the change in at City Hall now, with Mayor Ford, who says, you know, who's been trying to find an excuse not to fund Pride. So what he did was, he said, if this group participates in Pride, then we won't give you any funding. So that's where it stands right now. And we decided we would call their bluff. We don't want to be used as the scapegoat. So we just said, well, we won't march this year. We marched last year. We marched the year before. The issue of Israeli apartheid is now quite known. And so we've done some sort of educational work in terms of spreading the message about what Israeli apartheid is, and how queers in Palestine and Israel are oppressed. So we've done that. So we decided we won't play that game. So here we are now, sort of before the next Pride, telling the city, well, sorry, we won't be the excuse you have. So now they say, if anything about Israeli apartheid, in anything, that you can't give out information, you can't give out flyers, you can't wear T-shirts, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, this is getting totally ridiculous, because even their own managers have, as I said earlier, have come out and said this is not hate speech, and criticism of a government is not necessarily hate. I mean, against a particular group of people. Because people were against apartheid in South Africa didn't make them hate white people. So why does it seem that it's making us hate Jewish people?
Yeah, it's a pretty shocking thing for the mayor of Toronto to say something like he'll take $100,000. Did he even have the ability himself to take away $100,000?
Well, if city council passes it.
Yeah. But that would
they
be.
They can do it. So he can, and right now he's got, you know, a significant number of people who support him on city council.
I see.
And the thing is that a lot of councillors are caught in this bind that if they support the Queers Against Israeli Apartheid, then they might be branded as anti-Semitic, right? So
right.
So they don't go there, and they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to touch this issue because it might in some way affect how people see them.
So what is the future for Queers Against Israeli Apartheid? What's on the horizon?
Well, what we're going to be doing at the time is to draw attention to apartheid. So we'll be doing an educational piece, probably, and also we'll be launching this campaign, which is the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Against Israel campaign, and especially in response to the pinkwashing campaign, as I told you earlier, where they're encouraging gay tourism in Israel. So what we're saying is, look, folks, you need to know what the truth is about human rights in Israel.
People can get in contact with you or learn more about you. They can go to queersagainstisraeliapartheid.org.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We have we've got a website, right?
Fantastic. Yeah, it's actually a very good website. Very informative. Apartheid 101 is a great section explaining what apartheid is trying to cut through some of the confusion and distortions about the issue. It's a fantastic website. Apartheid is APARTHEID.
EID, yep.
Apartheid. Well, thank you very much for talking with Tony Souza, a member of Queers Against Israeli Apartheid. Thank you very much for joining us today.
I hope this helped clarify some of these issues.
Absolutely, it did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to Queer Review on CHRW 94.9. Queer Review is in association with the Pride Library, located at the main floor of the Weldon Library at the University of Western Ontario. We broadcast every other Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. To find out more or to listen online, visit queerreviewradio.blogspot.com. Thank you.